All right, we're going to get started on time. Thank you all for coming. I do want to just give you, for those of you who may not have been here last week, that we're doing 3 weeks on prayer. Last week was Dean Marshall, who shared some personal experiences and how the Lord had humbled him and how he came to the Lord, and the Lord was gracious in his life. So that was one, and that was based primarily on this book called The Praying Life. Next week, Tom O'Boyle will be finishing up the 3 weeks on prayer, and he also will be teaching from this book. Nancy and I are not. We are teaching from a book that has really been instrumental in not only our lives, but our family's life, called Cat and Dog Theology. If you've been here several years ago, Nancy and I actually taught a class, a six-week series on cat and dog theology. This week, we're going to delve a little deeper into cat and dog prayer. What we really like about this, probably more than anything else, is it addresses our attitudes as we go to God in prayer. It really shines a light on what is your motivation? What's your heart attitude? How are you talking to the Lord? Is it respectful? Is he your friend or a buddy, right? Pastor Woolling, I can still remember the sermon he preached where he goes, God may be your friend, but he's not your buddy. And that is true. We need to remember when we go in front of the throne of grace who we're talking with and talking to.
So where we first found this curriculum was I was at a homeschool convention, and we actually bought a year's curriculum for homeschoolers, which was cat and dog theology. And we spent a year with three or four of our kids, and it has really impacted our whole family. So we wanted to share this with you as we talked about prayer.
So let's open in prayer. Lord, we are ask you to come in today. Open our ears, because unless you open them, we will not hear. Unless you open and give us understanding, we will not understand. So Lord, as we delve into your word, as we come together as the body to discuss your word and what you have taught us on prayer, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that we have been called out and are your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
So what is cat and dog theology? We need to do a quick little recap. A dog says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, you must be God.
So the conclusion dogs come to is you must be God. Cats actually, I got it. Well, I'm sorry. I haven't turned the clicker on. Okay, now I got it. A cat says the same things. You pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, but their conclusion is, I must be God. All right, now, no offense against cat lovers. We're not trying to identify the owners of these animals as the problem. But that is the gist. And so what we really want you to remember is not this. We want you to remember that cats have staff.
Dogs have masters.
Now, what we want you to realize, cats are not saying or view themselves as God. They just view God as someone who does things for them and at their beck and call. Whereas, you want to do the last thing you want? Let's face it, though, we've all been cats. We've all been dogs, right?
So
when praying, does God hear you meow? And if you notice, the me. Are we in the way over here? Can you guys see? Okay, meow. And it's all, you know, we go me. We hear a lot of I, my, that type of thing. And dogs.
Dogs bark. Which is one of two choices. It's either being all radiant on the king, all reliant on the king, or all radiant for the king. What is your attitude of your heart?
So I want to ask you to be honest. We're the family of God here, And we are all sinners that have, we are all saints that still sin. What drives you to prayer? Why do you go to prayer? Not why do Christians go to prayer? What should we go to prayer with? Why do you go to prayer? If you're willing to share some of that?
My kids.
Mrs. Job. I must admit, when you ask me that question, I find myself in the middle of the night when I wake up addressing my kids. Praying for my kids is like Job. Why else? It's not that you're bad. Jill. Okay, so you go to prayer because that is what we are we're commanded to do that.
When things aren't working out, doing it on your own.
Okay. we've come to our wits' ends. We find that we have limitations and we need to go to Him. Someone else had a hand up. Judy. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last.
A heart full of gratitude.
Gratitude. You go to prayer for gratitude.
When you've made a mess of it all. decisions that I need to make.
When you need to make decisions, guidance, discernment. I'm sorry?
To glorify
Him. All right, we're gonna move on. It wasn't until pretty much into my Christian walk where I started going to the prayer for glorifying out of gratitude, thanks, with a real heart that was had gratitude or a real heart of thanks. So now let me ask you this: do you see your prayers answered?
Sometimes.
Why not all the time?
Because sometimes what you pray for isn't always in God's plan.
Okay. It's not always in God's plan, so God obviously has a say-so in our answered prayers, right? Yes.
I would say yeah, but a lot of times the things that I really want to see are answered long after I would hope to see them answered. They don't fit my timeline.
Okay, so there's a time element in there. What would be the consequence if God answered our prayers next day all the time? Think about it. We're not going to go there yet, but think about it. If God always answered every prayer we had in our time frame that we went.
So we want to talk about some reasons that prayer isn't answered, why we see unanswered prayer. One caveat we need to take is we are addressing Christians. God is not obligated to answer the prayers of non-believers except for the cry for salvation. So, one thing is we don't pray very much. James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. A Barna study said that the average Christian, this was years ago, the average Christian prays 1 minute a day, the average pastor is praying 5 minutes a day. Are we giving God the scraps of our time or the desperation of our conversation with Him?
James also says we ask with the wrong motives, right? You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Do we pray for wants or do we pray for needs? I asked Nancy this recently. I go, how many prayers in the Bible do you know that are for wants rather than a need? And we had a long discussion on that, but that is another aspect that James brings to light, is what is that prayer for? And to your point, is it in God's will? Is it to build His kingdom, which we've been learning?
So the way the book described the praying for your own needs was hedonistic squandering. Think about that one. So are you asking without consideration of what God wants? Without caring about His purposes, without insight and understanding into what He might be doing. I like the scripture, Jesus had just told the disciples that He was going to be crucified and raised on the third day, and Peter came alongside and he began to rebuke him. Lord, forbid it. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. Are we always thinking about what is God's plan? How are we fitting into His plan versus is He fitting into our plan? So on your handout, the book had a whole chapter on insights into the Lord's Prayer, and we gave you a summary. But there was one that particularly struck me, and that was the part about forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. They used the word trespass in it, and the idea of trespass implies stepping beyond a permissible border with someone else. And I really like that vision of how when we trespass on somebody else's relationship, we're affecting our relationship with God.
And Nancy specifically asked me to talk to the First Peter example because it speaks to men. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Jesus himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount that if you're taking your gift to the altar and you remember that you have something against another person, go and rectify that, then come back and offer your gift. Same concept here. So, men, if you think your prayers aren't being answered, not Nancy, talk to your spouse.
Do we ask big? So, John 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And oftentimes, we tack on at the end of our prayers in Jesus' name, expecting that to mean we've done it in his name. And we're going to get whatever we ask because we tack that magical phrase. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying, are you asking for what is consistent with God's character, with God's personality, with God's purposes, with his plans and destiny for creation?
So in Joshua, as the children of Israel are entering the promised land, they're actually entering from the east, and they got to cross the Jordan into the west. And I'm going to read this. It's taken out of Joshua 7:7.
Give the background. They've won the battle at Jericho, and now they've lost the battle at Ai.
And so they're trying to understand why. And it says, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan?" This is Joshua praying, "only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan," which was the east side where they entered from. "O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants in the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and out and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do?"
Well, that first part, doesn't it sound a little bit like cat meowing? Being, it's about me. It's about, we didn't win. Why didn't we win?
And then, but where Joshua ends up is really important. "And what will you do for your great name? The Lord is very zealous of his name. Giving praise and honor to someone is not worthy of it, that he is worthy of, is that's what his jealousy is all about." Praying for our needs isn't wrong. We're not trying to say that. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for things. But we need to pray about them in context of God's kingdom. Go ahead.
No, so that's really the key is, are you praying just like Joshua did, that you can serve and advance his kingdom? Joshua is asking, how can I advance your kingdom if we're destroyed? It's about you. It's not about us. So don't let this happen. Do we approach our troubles with the concept that if I'm destroyed, how will you get glory, God? Versus, it's about me.
Do you want to do it?
You did.
Purposes of petitions in prayer. So we're going to test your Bible knowledge here. Don't be afraid. This is you.
John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that. Who wants to finish the verse?
You know, you ready?
Sure. The Father may be glorified in the Son. It's all about advancing the kingdom of the Father. Is prayer for our sake? Or is it for his sake?
One more chance. You got another chance here.
Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that... We need some Bible memory experts here.
You ready?
Excellent. Your joy may be made full. So we see two reasons here. It's about glorifying the Father and our joy being full. So what we're looking at is we should find joy in glorifying God. Having joy in the fullest and glorifying God are intrinsically and intimately related. I want to show you an example. This is a little hard for me to show because we just put Kaiser down a couple weeks ago. But we have just returned from Uganda.
Uganda.
And this is his greeting. And we want you to think about his joy is in his master's presence. And he is just uncontrollably excited to see his master. And the challenge is, do I get this excited when my father is glorified? Is that making my joy full?
So, what we liked about this book is because it really focuses on your heart attitude and your view of God as you come into prayer. So, cause me and help me. Listen to David's prayer in Psalm 51. This is his psalm right after the issue with Bathsheba. And I'm taking select verses to just show the point. But be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Again, he's appealing to God for his name's sake. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. What does those statements reflect of David's heart when he went to prayer? A total reliance on the Father to lead him, to guide him.
That's that bark, being all reliant on the king.
Okay, so this is from Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel prophesying and talking that what God was going to do when he restored Israel. Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name. Again, God is really zealous for his name. But you have profaned among the nations where you went. Moreover, and listen to all the eyes here, and this is God speaking, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Notice God didn't say he's going to help us do those things. He's going to cause us to do those things. So, let's go now to Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When God does the work, he gets the glory. When we do the work, we get the gold medal, he gets the silver medal. That was kind of an eye-opener for me when I came across that. When I go to the Lord and say, help me, instead of cause me to walk in your way. Because what does that say about our view of God? Again, words aren't magical, but they do reflect sometimes our hard attitude and how we approach the Lord. So, how many of you have ever prayed cause me prayers? Lord, cause me to be holy. Cause me to live with an eternal perspective. Cause me to share my faith. Cause me to hunger for your word. Cause me to seek your face. Cause me to thirst for righteousness. However, there is a big caution here. Be careful what you pray for. As a new Christian, I prayed for patience. God put me in situations where I either had to exercise patience or I lost it. And because I was in the Word and had been praying for that and focused on that, I recognized God's hand and what He was doing. And that's a large part of this. That's a large part of prayer is do we go there in worship and admiration of Him, recognizing what He's doing in our lives? Is that it? I think that's it.
So with the gold and silver, sometimes we're thinking that I'm going to do 70% of the work and God's going to do the 30%. So the flip is, does being 100% dependent on God mean we do nothing? Do we just get to be couch potatoes and expect God to do everything? And the answer obviously is no. So we had a couple of prayers that really portray how we need to act and what our expectation needs to be. Lord, I'm still going to have quiet times, but unless you meet with me and open my eyes, nothing is going to happen.
Lord, I'm still going to share my faith, but unless you speak through me, no lives will be changed.
Lord, I'm still going to study your word, but unless you open my eyes, I won't learn a thing. So our part is to give God times and opportunities to do his work and to receive his rightful glory. I love the psalm. Okay. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. It is all about him. So our takeaway from this section is, will God ever tire of hearing me whine and complain? God will never tire of you coming to him, because the more you come to him, the more glory he gets, the more joy you get in seeing his provision as he answers. God never tires of revealing his glory and giving you joy.
If any of you read Piper, one of his quotes I've always enjoyed, and I hope I can quote it, is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And that's the takeaway. That's you.
So a prayer we often pray is, Lord, bless. Bless our children. Bless me. Bless our food. What do we come looking for when we're asking for a blessing? And some suggestions are success, prosperity, longevity, things for us to enjoy. And it's kind of a meow prayer there, because it's all about me. Blessing comes from the Hebrew word barak, which means to bless or kneel and suggest the bending of knee in prayer. A knight's position shows subservience when he comes before the king. And just as we pray, we kneel before our master. Therefore, as God blesses us, we get to honor him and reveal his glory.
So what's interesting in our fallen nature, you know, just the very act of prayer, coming before prayer is automatically saying, I'm less, you're greater, I'm coming to you. Yet in our fallenness, we turn that around while we're praying and say, Lord, give me, help me, do this for me, take this. So even the act of prayer itself is acknowledging him as greater. As a cat, our attitude, or sometimes our attitude is, yeah, I know you're greater, but do this for me. Okay, so Jacob's three blessings. These are Jacob in his lifetime was blessed three times. It specifically calls it out. Isaac, he got Isaac's blessing. Isaac blessed him. God repeated the promise of blessing to Jacob, as he did to Abraham and Isaac. And Jacob wrestled with God until he received God's blessing. So I'm going to ask you, did Jacob lead a blessed life? And why or why not?
Depends on what view you're taking, below or above. God caused him to walk according to God's plan for Jacob's life. He made him do it. Mm-hmm. Jacob wasn't always the most willing participant. But in the end, God had Jacob and his sons right where he needed them to be in order to carry on the promise that was made to Abraham.
So God had a purpose in Jacob's life, and he accomplished that purpose in spite of Jacob and Jacob's sons. He also is always mentioned, you know, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? In that way, God has honored him and blessed him in that way. About the view from below, did Jacob have a blessed life, in your opinion? I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just kind of curious. Think of what he went through. He left home and ran from Esau out of fear because he'd stole the birthright. Worked 7 years for Leah, was tricked, worked 7 more years to get Rachel. Laban cheated him out of his wages. He tried to trick him out of the best of the flock. He wrestled with God and limped the rest of his life as a result of that wrestling. He had a very dysfunctional family. That's an understatement. Jacob's sons faked Joseph's death, told his father he was killed by an animal, and let him live in that lie.
Joseph was kind of a jerk.
Well, we're talking about Jacob now. Is Jacob's life... Okay, so to your point, Jacob had a lot of family problems in his family. Is that blessed? That's the idea here. Let's listen to Jacob's summary of his life, right here, Genesis 47:9. The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. That's Jacob's own evaluation of his sojourn here on earth. So, what are we saying here? Or is that the next line?
Nope.
Realize that if you ask God to bless you, your days could be unpleasant. Things may not happen to you the way you think they're going to happen. God could be saying, I'm going to allow tough times to come into your life. And as you walk through them with your eyes on me, you'll be making me famous in others' eyes.
I love cat and dog theology describes what does glorifying God mean, and they use the phrase making God famous. So that's what we're looking at. Some quick other examples of people that were blessed individuals. Well, I'm not going to read all of this, but you can kind of see Abraham was blessed, but he still, he didn't personally receive the promised land, wasn't given for over 400 years. Daniel was blessed, but he had to face the lions in the den. Paul and Silas were blessed, but they were still flogged and put in prison. We could think about the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are peacemakers and are persecuted, those when people insult and lie about you. So if that's blessed, do we want it? Time. The dog's attitude still, I want that. Keep going. The dog's attitude is still, it's about you, it's not about me. And just as a reminder, we're all cats, we're all dogs. You can't be 100% dog. And cat's prayer is not wrong, it's just incomplete. So, but we want to give you a perspective of what does this look like.
And I also remind you that words aren't in themselves are not magical, other than they reflect the attitude of our hearts. Your spirit may be praying that, but your words may not be saying cause those words. But it's the heart attitude. God looks on the heart. Words are not magical with God, other than what they reflect of our heart. Was this me? Cats can have selective memory. Remember the children of Israel. They're getting ready. They have numerous times traveling through the wilderness, and they're always going, if I just take us back to Egypt. We had cucumbers. We had food. We had this. Notice they didn't say we had slavery. They tried to kill my son. Or they killed our sons. You know, they worked us to the bone. A lot of times when we're focusing on what we don't have in the present, we forget what it used to be like. right? And that's the whole thing. It's easy to forget the bad memories when you're focused only on the good stuff that you don't have in the present. The other example here, God can see our complaints as a rejection of Him. If you remember when Israel wanted a king, they complained. We want a king. They whined. God said, give them a king. But what did God tell Samuel? They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. So a lot of times, our complaints are a rejection of God and of who He is and our view of His sovereignty. Malachi 2:2, if you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. That's an eye-opener. And indeed, I have cursed them already. God can actually curse His blessings. So beware of how God may answer prayer. Is this where? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my attempt at being funny, okay? Man and wife married 60 years. They're 60 years old, and they've been married 40 years. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary, and I'll just say God. Okay, a genie shows up and says, I'll give you each one wish, whatever you wish. So the wife says, I would like to travel around the world with my husband. The husband says, I would like a companion.
Poof, instantly there is the cruise.
Oh, and the tickets.
Shows up and it's met.
See, that's why it's an attempt at being funny. The husband says, I would like a companion 30 years younger, and poof, he's 90 years old.
Beware of how God may answer.
Based on your heart condition.
So we have 6 reasons why we might have to wait. We've talked about some of these.
These are on your handout, too. We've summarized these on your handout.
God wants a relationship with you, not just recognition from you. So you may have to wait until the relationship is developed.
God might want us to learn deep lessons, which take time.
Don't ask for patience. God may be waiting for us to pray humbly.
God might want us to learn to be persistent. Lord, cause me to be holy, to continue praying. Go ahead.
The answer could be delayed by a spiritual battle of spiritual forces.
As we saw in Daniel, mm-hmm. when he prayed, and it was delayed. The praise given to God by dogs during the waiting brings greater glory to our Heavenly Father.
Some reasons why God might say no. Maybe there's sin in your life.
Or we're asking for what is outside of God's will, as was pointed out earlier.
No might produce greater revelation of God's glory than yes. The example in Matthew there is Jesus praying for the cup to be taken from him. The answer was obviously no.
We are praying selfish prayers, and we covered that a little bit in James. Mark talks about that.
We may be clinging to a secret sin.
Lack of honoring and fearing the Lord.
We may lack compassion for those who need it.
Worshiping anything other than God.
Speaking falsely or speaking wickedly, murder or robbery.
And not living rightly and kindly with your spouse.
So each of these, you can take these home. You've got the verses there if you want to look up what the references are that expound upon. Why might God say no?
These are not exhaustive, by the way.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So what we want to talk about is gratitude versus glory. Cats are basically focused on their prayers on gratitude rather than glory. And gratitude is giving thanks for something someone did for you. Good thing, absolutely. But glory is an attitude of thanks for who that someone is. Gratitude's based on us. Glory is based on the character of the other person. So again, gratitude isn't wrong. it's just not complete. Do we stop at thank you, or do we make sure that God's becoming famous and getting recognized for what it is that he did?
And the Lord's Prayer brings that out, right? First in the prayer was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The glory that the Father has.
Yeah. So the last is a little humor again. What cats and dogs really want out of life. The dog's list is God alone. The cat has crossed out Santa and put the Lord for his list of wants and needs. So we want to just open up for comments, questions, perspective.
So let me throw out an idea here that I've this study has really launched me into prayer. What is it? What does it look like? Is prayer a conversation with God? I mean, okay. So a lot of things, just like in Jesus' name, culturally we pick up things and learn things that aren't necessarily wrong, but aren't necessarily scriptural either, because in praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean end all your prayers with the words in Jesus' name. That's not what that means at all. And those words aren't magical either. So prayer is a conversation. So let me ask this. How many of you, when you have gone to prayer, have in that time period received word back from the Lord? The other part of the conversation. Okay, you got one, two. I can say I have. Now, let me ask the other one. How often do you have that experience where God immediately talks back to you when you're praying, when you're in that praying attitude and talking with him? Because
I say as often as you're willing to listen.
So we can all admit we're dull of hearing, right? We're all dull sinners. We have a hard time hearing. That's why unless it'll... or just being still. Yeah, so we can listen.
I would say my experience is more often like after I've prayed, like there's a, you know, scripture says, you're not be anxious about anything, but in all things, about prayer, petition, all thanksgiving. Submit your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, right? So I've felt that peace just knowing like that I've been heard, you know? So like after my time of prayer, I feel really, I've been guarded. I feel like I'm in the right place because God's heard.
Do most people have that experience? I would, kind of, on some level or other, right? Prayer, we usually come out of prayer, not usually more down than we were when we went in, usually with sometimes a different perspective, right? Because sometimes as we're praying, God can bring scripture to our mind. God can talk to us, Andy.
If I think about conversation as, one of the purposes of conversation is realignment. When Amy and I don't talk, we've been, you know, busy, crazy, going all over the place, we're misaligned. And we are not functioning together as well as we can. And so what often has to happen is we sit down and we just talk. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about what we're dealing with right at that moment, but it's sit down and play a game, sit down and, you know, talk about the day or whatever. And you come out of that feeling of peace, feeling restored in relationship. So for me, I can say there have been times where I feel like I've specifically heard a word from the Lord. But a lot of times, I think what God has done for me in prayer is he's used it as a way to realign my thinking. The more I come to him in prayer and submit myself and carve out that time, as Dean talked about last week, the more my thoughts tend to realign. So one thing I pray for is, Lord, as my mind wanders, as it often does in prayer, cause it to wander in the way you want it to go. So some of the times I feel like God speaks to me is by bringing a thought to mind while I'm in that prayer time, that helps me to make a decision or helps me to think about something that needs changed or just pop something into my thinking or into my train of thought. So I think he uses thought or uses that conversation time to realign our thinking and as our actions follow our thoughts. So.
Anyone else? Jenna.
I guess I want to share experience I've had from time to time when I've really just prayed in the order of the Lord's Prayer, you know, starting out and giving him glory. As Andy said, kind of realigning myself, like going over the promises, like, Lord, you know, you said this. I mean, Lord, you've revealed yourself to me. I mean, like, just in this, the glory of that, and I get to that point, and I'm kind of, you know, I come in with all these things, like, you know, I wanted, da-da-da-da, and I get to that point, and I'm like, what more can I ask for, right? Like, you've opened my heart, you've shown me, you know, who you are, you've made all these, you know, just amazing promises to me. Like, yeah, I kind of get to the point where, well, like, how could I even ask for anything else, you know?
Yeah. Someone else, Seth.
Last week, Dean Marshall was talking about coming to God messy.
Yeah.
And even if you're in that cat attitude, you still need to come to God, because most likely by the time you're done with your prayer time, you're going to be the dog. And so I don't want for myself to ever think I have to kind of clean up my act before I come
right
to God. I need to come to him when I'm a wreck and just realize I need you, and it's you and you alone. And, you know, at first I'm looking at myself, just like how awful I've done or what I'm, you know, where I am. And so that my attitude can become one that I make God famous.
So I want to thank you, because you've kind of validated where my thoughts have gone in preparing for this with Nancy and reading the book. A lot of times when I think of conversation, I default to face-to-face, we're talking, right? And so, but I'm finding my experience with the Lord, although he has talked to me in prayer, that's the exception rather than the rule a lot of times. And so another default where my mind goes is when I sit down to pray, I'm initiating prayer. I've concluded that's the wrong concept. God is speaking to us 24 hours a day through natural revelation, through his creation, through Bible studies, through my reading of the word, through sermons on Sunday morning, through classes like this. God is constantly talking to us. And our prayer is when we finally sit down, and like Andy said, let's compare notes here. Let's synthesize all of this that God's been telling me throughout the day. So when I go to prayer, it's not I'm initiating prayer with God. I'm responding to all the messages and that he's been giving me throughout the day. Now, in with those messages is a lot of noise from Satan, from a lot of things. And so prayer helps us get on the same page with God, discern between the noise and Satan's little whispers and what God is directing us to do. That's kind of where I come through in this study of prayer, and it's kind of changed my outlook. Now when I go to prayer, it's not me initiating. I sit down and I go, okay, Lord, glorify your name. I again, follow the Lord's Prayer, Acts, whatever your method is of adoration, acknowledging his sovereignty in our life, that his purpose for my life will be accomplished independent of the decisions I make. He's going to accomplish his purpose. And that blessing may be struggle. Okay. But he's promised to be with us, and he's promised to give us joy. Anybody else want to weigh in on prayer or experience? Or I will say this, a favorite quote of mine, Donald Barnhouse. Do you guys know who he was? Jimmy Boyce, that was his name, right? He was the predecessor to Jimmy Boyce. And he used to take high school kids out to his farm and just for fellowship, and they were discussing the will of God. Discerning the will of God. How do we discern the will of God? Everybody, as a Christian, has that question sooner or later. And he walked into the room in the middle of this conversation, and so they asked, Dr. Barnhouse, how do you discern the will of God? He goes, 98% of the will of God can be known from the neck up, and walked out. What he's saying is, this is the will of God for your life. You can find it here. Do the do's. Give him the honor and the praise. Accept his blessings, no matter how arduous they may be. 98% is here. The other 2%, he talks to us, sometimes directly. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that God does not talk to us today or he can't talk to us, or he talks through dreams, visions. But as Hebrews 1 says, in these last days, in times past, he talked to us this way, dreams, visions, prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, yes. And he has been tempted in all ways like we have been. So he knows our weaknesses. He knows what we struggle with. Amen. Anyone else before we close?
Well, we've basically given you a very cursory look at what this cat and dog prayer book was about. Hope you all have learned something, been encouraged. We wanted to close in a different way. We would like to do a joint prayer. So would you join me in praying this prayer? God,
fill me with joy no matter what circumstances come my way. And through that, may I make you famous. Give me the honor and blessing of having people look at my life and see you. I bow the knee to you. I want to be blessed by you and for you.